Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Season 5 of Barbecue Tech. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner in crime, co-host, and as he hates for me to call him, my barbecue pitmaster, Chris Ashley. What up, dog?
What's up, my man? We're back!
It has been far too long for us to have an episode where we start talking a little bit more about barbecue, but I know hopefully all of our listeners have been spending most of their summer, like we have, making some good barbecue and enjoying it.
Barbecuing stuff and messing around with new stuff. And yeah, man, we're right back. Even though it seems like it's been forever, this is pretty much where we start the new season right before the first football game. We've been having some fun making some cool barbecue. And the most recent one we did is going to be the topic of this particular episode. But I want to take a second to thank all of our fans. Through your support, we have been able to get some cool new equipment. Especially for making our cutting boards and so much easier. Thank you guys so much, because nothing was more appreciated than building the last couple of barbecue and tech butcher blocks, which thank you folks for ordering them. And we've since built and shipped out quite a few. So if anybody's interested, the butcher blocks are so big, we're making these to order. So if you're interested in getting one of our barbecue and tech butcher blocks, find us and hit us up on however you want, Twitter, on our Discord, Instagram, however you want to find us and hit us up. I will communicate with you. We will build you out one. Takes us a couple weeks to build them, but they're custom made, handmade, and the ones we've built so far have been absolutely gorgeous. Sometimes when you finish, you're like, I really should keep this for myself.
Yeah, there's one in progress right now that I'm sure that right now you're like, do I really want to sell this one?
It's looking really good. Well, we've got a prototype one that we're working on, so that it's looking really, really good. So, these things are made a lot easier with your guys' support, and I just wanted to absolutely take a second to thank everyone for that. Now, another thing that I wanted to say is, you guys have been supporting us. You know, we have our patrons. If you want to become a patron, by all means, head on over to patreon.com/ barbecue and tech. We appreciate everyone that's on there and helping us out. You guys have purchased our Amazon's suggestions. And we are working on something that I think is really, really cool, and we could definitely get your help with. So one of the places that we go to where Pitmaster Tyler, who was a great guest a couple seasons back, he used to work. He's since left and moved on to some other things. But Mason Dixon Barbecue Services has – we're working on trying to get a little sponsorship from them, which would be really, really cool. So what they want to see is some engagement between you guys and them. So this is where we get a lot of our rubs, especially like our AP, the Killer Hogs AP. We always go here and load up some of the latest barbecue equipment we've gotten from these guys. And what they're offering to do is let us take units home, different types of smokers, and do some test barbecues with them. So this will let you guys know, you know, how different things cook on different types of smokers, and it'll broaden out what we can test a lot easier. It's hard to go spend $2,000 on a smoker and then be like, yeah, we want to return this. So they've got smokers that they will let us use. And we want to create a partnership with them. So all we're asking you guys to do is that if you, the next time you go buy a rub or some type of seasoning for your barbecue or maybe some equipment, head over to Mason Dixon Barbecue. It's MDBQ.
I already actually have it in the show notes as well.
Services.com. And then leave it. They don't really have like an affiliate thing set up yet, but what, just leave a comment saying, hey, our friends at Barbecue and Tech sent us here. Anything. You don't have to buy the store, but you know, if you buy a couple seasonings, they got great rubs that we use all the time. My kitchen is full of the rubs from them. Just leave a comment saying that we sent you. And through that, we're going to start working on building up a nice partnership with these guys and to be able to that'll give us access to some more equipment that we can test, more technology we can test, and more rubs and seasonings we can test and let you guys know what we think of them. So really appreciate you guys' help on that.
And I did, for everybody, I did put a link to it in the show notes. So if you look at our show notes or if you head over to the Barbecue and Tech website, and click on the show episode and we'll have it in all this season. We'll make sure we include a link to the Mason Dixon barbecue site. So we always doing picks on seasoning. So yeah, if you can help support them, they'll help support us because I would love to review some of their smokers. I want to find out if Chris went to hole in on the stumps and he could have saved a little money and got something equivalent.
They have a nice gravity smoker that they have, but they have, more importantly, they have some offset smokers that have piqued my interest. So it'd be a lot easier getting one from them than driving all the way down to Georgia and getting another stumps offset. So who knows where that goes. And then they have some other cabinet smokers. They definitely have some whole hog smokers. So, you know, just the opportunity there is massive. So I really, really would like to develop a partnership with these guys. And so, you know, and if you guys can help us out with that, we would have really appreciated it. So there you go. All right. Rod and I have been busy and this one came from Rod. He wanted to get into doing some meatballs. And I was like, obviously, you know, we took two different approaches to how we did this. But in the end, we wanted to figure out how we could do some really delicious smoked meatballs. So we're going to, much like we've done with our other episodes and our other experiments, where we make this a journey where we kind of think it through, then we execute, then we adjust and pivot. And then we go again. And this is how we've perfected our version of brisket. This is how we've perfected our ribs and all the other things that we like to smoke as well. So this will be no different. Now, as far as this episode is concerned, we've done probably the beginning parts already. So we've already had our first smoke and our first cook. And so we're picking up right there. So we're going to let you guys know how this went. And so we'll start at the beginning the first thing we wanted to do is do some research as to what people are doing to make their meatballs in the first place, because that then informs us about the texture, what we're looking for, type of seasonings and all that stuff. So Rod did extensive research on this, so I'll let him start out with what he was researching, what he was, and then what he ended up trying to go for. So go ahead, man. Tell these
folks what you did. I'll take the story back a little bit further even. So my wife made I like to cook. I for me, I find it relaxing. So she made a comment at some point in time in the summer where if you have kids, you kind of know that kids like repetition. So they like to see, they like to eat. Oh, can you make this thing again? Can you make this thing you made again? Can you make, and after a while, as an adult, you're like, for the love of, I don't want to make it anymore. I want something different. So my wife made that comment, but she's not the I love to cook person. She's like, cooking for her is more, it's more of a chore. And she's like, I like to try out new recipes, but she's like I found a recipe on Pinterest and then it doesn't turn out really good. I'm like, well, maybe you should look on a food cooking site versus Pinterest, but let's not go there. So I tend to identify a bunch of different recipes and then I try to find like commonalities between the recipes as I try to come to what I want. So I was flipping through Instagram one time and I saw someone making a meatball sub and I was like, ah, my kids, they like meat. They like subs. They'll of course like a meatball sub. So I was like, I want to make them a meatball sub. But what I didn't want to do is make a meatball, soak it in a gravy or a sauce, like a tomato sauce, because I feel that sometimes what you get with those meatballs, that they get overcooked because they're transferring the juices from inside the meatball into the sauce. So the sauce is very flavorful, but the meatballs are dry. So I wanted to figure out how can I make a really good meatball. Now, I absolutely know the direction I'm going is a smoked meatball, but I was like, I want to start off with doing a meatball the traditional way so that I can So I know that if I get into the smoked meatball, whether or not I'm getting the same desired texture I want, the taste that the kids would want when they find it from a traditional standpoint into a barbecue standpoint. So from my first attempt at it, I really started off with, let me do traditional cooking. I started off with the oven and then I transitioned in. I know, Chris, you went off the deep end. You went right into smoking, which is, again, we both approach it from two different means. But I think the end result for us both were pretty good. So with my first attempt, at least the two common themes that I find that everybody does in meatballs is at least pork and some type of a beef, whether it be a ground brisket, a ground chuck, whatever it is, beef and meat and pork are the two things that tend to be combined together to make traditional meatballs. However, every once in a while, and I'm about to piss off a lot of people here. Actually, no, these are meat eaters. You guys are going to get mad. Veal is the other thing that tends to get substituted in. And I know that some people have varying opinions on I'll never eat veal because of obvious reasons. But I said, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. I'll add in a half a pound of veal. Actually, it was a third blend of
our veal.
Yep.
What was the other third?
Chuck.
And then final.
And then pork.
And through your research, is chuck typical? Is that a typical base for meatballs?
Typically,
or is it just ground beef?
Typically ground beef. And for most people, they just go and buy chuck because they're just going to go buy hamburger meat and move on with that. So, and I know we'll be talking about our new hamburger blend in a later episode. Specifically did not want to use that because I wanted to say, let me just start off with chuck, because then I introduce a whole new world of I don't knows into the equation. So the veal obviously was designed to, you know, give a bit more of a ramp up and a peak in that flavor profile that you're getting. And the pork adds an additional complexity to the flavor. But
yeah, sweetness. What
I found in a lot of the research, people vary on how they want to create a binder, like, which is kind of funny because you're like, if you take all that meat and you squeeze it together, typically is going to hold, but you do need a binder and you need a fat introduction. So for introducing fat into my meatball, I actually went with, in addition to Parmesan cheese, I actually went with ricotta cheese. So some people will say, we'll use milk. So you can use like bread as a binder and milk with bread and you kind of boost those two things up together. But I said, all right, I'm going to do ricotta cheese because, again, I was going a bit more on the side of Italian style meatballs. So okay. Adding that ricotta cheese was in favor of adding milk and added a lot of richness to the meatball. So when I first made my meatballs, I was really concerned because I was like, oh my God, these things are so pale, like white. Because the meat has one flavor, one tone to it. But then after you add all the seasoning and stuff like that, they're still the same tone. And then you add the ricotta cheese and you're like, oh my God, I thought I screwed it up, to be perfectly honest. But I mixed them together and I made meatballs out of them. So the first thing I had to get through over was the color that it created. The other thing was not was a really typical thing is not overworking the meat. So what you typically want to do
something you should do with burgers as well, right? You want to you want it to stay together, but you don't want it to be so compact that you mess up the bite and the cooking of it. It'll cook uneven.
So if I had this to if so I, the first attempt was to I had to blend this all together by hand because I have veal, I have chuck, and I have pork. They're all pre-ground for me, which it's a sin that I didn't grind the meat myself. But if I were able to grind it myself, I could have ground the meat the first pass through, seasoned the meat, got everything else mixed in together, and then pushed it back through the grinder. So everything was already blended for me, and now I'm just making meatballs, which means I wouldn't have really overworked my meat because typically you try to run through a double grind for any meat anyway. So that second grind of adding all those seasonings, the ricotta cheese, everything so that all sort of flows through together, I'm now just scooping and making meatballs, which means I know that I can get things that are not overly compacted. So that was the first challenge was how do I combine three meats together, the seasonings together, the ricotta cheese, the Parmesan cheese, and not overwork it. It really is hard because you want to make sure that every meatball has a combination of all those things. The ricotta cheese, to be fair, you could lay all the meat out and just spread the ricotta cheese easily over that. You could even sprinkle the Parmesan, but to get those things to sort of fold together is where I think the hard part gets in so that you don't feel like you're getting layers. So I kind of went with more of a, rather than like a hand squeezing on the meat, I did more of a trying to scoop and fold all the things together so that the meat didn't get too overworked. And I think at least it came out successfully. I baked them in the oven for, I think it was 425 for, it's about anywhere between 13 to 15 minutes. Oh. Yeah, it was super fast baking.
So you didn't sear them off first?
So that was the real question. Did I want to put that texture on them to sear them up so that they had that bite on it? And I
had the same thing as well. So go ahead.
Yeah, I opted not to go with that. And I do regret that for some reason, because when you add all of that additional fat that I add in there, that's adding moisture. And when you add that moisture, that transfers that when they're cooking in the oven, that moisture is slowly leaking out. So you have to, you actually have to elevate on a rack so that they just don't sit in a soupiness and while they're cooking, which I
learned. So you didn't rack yours.
Well, I learned during the cooking process, get those things on a rack. So in the middle of the cook process, I essentially grabbed one of my pans that had a rack in it, threw it on a rack, switched them over to the pan with the rack. Cause I just looked in, I was like, oh my gosh, just wait, you know, there's liquid is producing in this pan. I know this is going south. That was like almost like 3 minutes into my cook. I realized that I made a stupid faux pas. So I switched it over to a rack pan so that all the real heavy moisture actually flowed out in it, which I was able to use that because I then took that moisture that came out of the meatballs and drained into the pan, put it into a fat separator, got the fat out of there, got the juices. And then I added those in actually into the sauce that I made for the meatballs and cheese. And that actually worked out really well. So the real testament for me is,
So you didn't cook to a temperature. You just eyeballed it.
I still checked that they
were. Oh, you did temp them.
Yeah, I did temp in the middle. So I was shooting for them to get around the 155 mark because I knew that the cook over, once I pulled them off, they'd still cook a little bit. So about 155, 156, I pulled them and their final temp when they were done cooking was actually at 160. So I did get my meatballs to register 160. I did not take my meatballs and lay them into a sauce. My meatballs stayed absolutely independent of my sauce. Until my sauce hit room temperature. So once my meatballs and sauce were at room temperature, I then put the meatballs inside the sauce and then proceeded to make meatballs and cheese for the kids.
Okay. So hold on. I want to just touch on that temperature cook real quick. So you had pork in there. Pork cook temp is 165. Yep. Veal is, you know, young calf. So that would have the same as any beef product.
Yeah.
And then of course, then you had the chuck, which would be 165 as well. I'm sorry, would be beef. So anywhere between 125 on up. So so that was probably a solid a temperature to go for 165 because you're really more concerned with cooking off the the pork than anything else. So
yeah, to be fair, they do say the safe internal cook temperature on pork is actually 145, not 165. I know there's a religious argument on this one, but it is a safe cook temperature is 145 on pork.
Okay.
But many people, when they know you have something with pork, if they see that pinkness in pork, they're like, it's not cooked, dude. Like that thing needs to be, I don't want rare pork. So that's why I went with 165. It's enough where I didn't feel like I was
to be clear. Okay. So I knew there was a nuance there. So ground pork.
Okay.
165 pieces of pork, like a big chunk of it. 145.
Okay. All right. You, what search engine are you using to look up your data? Cause I'm looking and it says U.S. Department of Agriculture, 160.
Yeah. Well, no, you initially said 145, right?
Yeah. Cause I did not add the word ground in there, but regardless, No one got ill.
you ended up at 165 anyway, so you're fine.
Yeah. Whatever I did, yeah. I think we were safe on the cook.
Fine at 165.
Yeah. To finish off the sandwiches, I actually made my own roasted garlic butter. So I roasted a head of garlic. I then pureed that down. I made garlic butter. I then took the fresh baked bread, put it into the toaster, toasted it, then spread it with the garlic butter, a tiny bit of Parmesan cheese. And I will be very clear. I did do the, I think it's AOP, Parmesan Reggiano, however you say it, if I'm getting it correctly, not just Parmesan cheese. So if it just says Parmesan in the U.S., it means Parmesan from anywhere. Versus if you Reggiano, it's Italian cheese, but I did.
Oh, go so you went the, all the way out.
Yeah, I did. It, to be fair, I mean, like you can buy Parmesan cheese for like $5-6 for a pound, almost a pound of it. And if you put Reggiano on it, you take that and divide it by four, and that's what you get for the same for at least the same amount of money. Actually, probably double the money. It's ridiculously expensive, but I was like,
there's a clear taste difference too, though.
There is, but I would probably say for most palates, most people probably would never notice the difference. They see Parmesan, they're like, I'm ready to go with that. I didn't realize that there was this subtlety within Parmesan cheeses. So I sprinkled it a little bit with my garlic butter, a little bit with the Parmesan. My garlic butter was on point. Toasted, the bread was retoasted then again, just to sort of crisp it up, melt the cheese a little bit. Then I put the meatballs on top, a little bit of the gravy or sauce on top of those.
And just to reiterate, you made the bread yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you cooking your bread in the oven? Do you have a bread cooker?
Oven.
Okay. Because you know, there's bread cookers. How come you never got a bread cooker?
I have one.
Oh, which one?
Dude, I got that 22 years ago when I got married.
Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously, it's not that big a deal because you prefer to use the oven, I guess.
Yeah. Because you get a lot more options when you're. Because you're making breads of all different shapes and sizes and stuff like that. So it's just, and honestly, I don't need something to knead bread and do all that stuff. I can put it in with my dough hook, knead the bread. Then there's like multiple rides I have to do out of bread. If you're doing sourdoughs, you're talking days of making a piece of bread. So I do it the way I want. I'll just start my bread and make my bread from start to scratch. And then you can score it. You can get everything done the way you really want to do it. And again, I enjoy the part of the cooking process. So if I know that a couple of days ahead of time, I have to prep to make fresh baked bread. There's literally nothing wrong with going to your local supermarket and just buying hoagie rolls. But yeah, I wanted to try something different. So I'll start from scratch on that. I actually just did some pizzas. Oh my gosh. I finally found a dough recipe for pizza. We'll get into that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Later. But nonetheless, after the bread came out, put the meatballs on it, put a little bit of gravy on that, then put some sharp Parmesan or provolone cheese over top of those, put them back in for their final toasting. I did not have any meatballs left after the end of the night, and I made.
Well, you have one. My young fella, one of your sons, he's your youngest son. He is a meat eater. I love that boy to death. And that's why, yeah. Like, even, you know, and, you know, on a future episode, we'll be talking about the burgers we made. But I wanted to pull him to the side and show him, like, real grill worker technique as to how.
I want to show him what his father cannot. I was sitting there, as you're teaching him how to make a burger, I'm like, literally, you think I've never done this, but... Why don't you roll head? That's fine. It was hilarious.
I know you showed him how to make a burger, but I know you did not give him the nuances that I could give him. There's just no way because you never worked on a grill.
Yeah, I know even you showed him, just not the right way.
I know you didn't show him all the little tips and tricks that I was giving him. And I
know he actually really appreciated it, so it was good.
Yeah, here's how I know that he was missing some technique when it came to making burgers, because I was looking all over your kitchen for a real spatula, a burger spatula.
Come on.
And I had never been so embarrassed in my life. I was like, is there a burger spatula in here somewhere?
So for anybody listening, let's clear this up. So everybody has spatulas they use in their kitchen, and many spatulas have slatted holes in them. And I have, I had one and there were slatted holes. And then I had one that's a very flexible spatula that mainly
you had
I
a
use
nylon,
for flipping fish.
No, silicone. It's nylon, right? Nylon spatula.
Yeah. So I mainly use it when I'm flipping like
eggs.
Eggs, yeah, omelets, things like that, where I need to get a lot of a spatula under a little bit of food. But Chris wanted a metal spatula that had no slatted holes. Cause I even said, what about this one? And it was metal, but it had the slatted holes. I need a proper spatula. I was like, and I forgot that I had one.
If your kids wasn't there with a sword across the room, which is what I wanted. I knew you had one. I just, cause you had ordered it. We had talked about it on an episode before.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know where the hell I put this thing. And I forgot that I have a separate container that has all my grilling seasoning in it. And there it was. So I was like, all right, of course I think it was after you left. I saw it and I was like, son of a biscuit eater. So I then sent
him
a
picture of it. I was like, good. I shamed him into finding his real spatula. I was like, cause how are you going to make a smash burger with a spatula that's as flimsy as a piece of paper? You can't. So, you know, anyway, that was just a fun side note of cooking that day. But yeah.
I came out with 30 meatballs, and the way the last piece, cause I know we want to talk about your meatballs cause you went a slightly different route on the smoker. The way I judge the size of my meatballs, is I went with something that when I took my pointer finger and my thumb and kind of just about get them to point where they're going to touch, that's the size of my meatballs.
Yeah, so generally you shoot for the size of a golf ball that is what they say.
And that's what it worked out to be. At that point, just before my fingers touch, maybe like a less than a quarter of an inch away, it's about the size of a golf ball. And that's what I went for the size of each one of my meatballs. And they worked out well. But
so
I heard they were juicy, succulent, and everyone in the household had multiple meatball and cheese subs, which was
that's excellent.
Yeah,
they looked good. So, so I actually took a slightly different route. I went all in on the smoker, and what I had been contemplating since we had been discussing this was, do I want to create a texture first and then put them on the smoker? Do I want to reverse sear them where I smoke them first and then create a texture on the on top of that. I'm talking about the grilling and the caramelization process that would occur on the outside at a high heat. So I decided, well, you know what? Let's get a solid baseline first. And so what I decided to do is I'm just going to smoke them off and then see what texture is on there, what juiciness and all of that jazz comes with that. So obviously with the smoker route, I was not able to cook them at a super high heat, you know, so I shot for like a 285, temp. I figured that would, and I put it on my bottom rack, which is closest to where the heat comes into the cook chamber, where I tend to get a better outside. So like I do my wings there, I do my chickens there. And so I decided to do meatballs there as well. So that was the first part of it. The second part of it was I did not go the route of adding pork, on this first run. I was trying to create a baseline. So I just went with a blend of meat that we had ground up. And put those into meatballs. Now, the third part was consideration. It was obviously because it was going on the smoker and it was going on at a lower temperature. What you want is you want to make sure that whatever you're smoking is going to hold up to, you know, a fairly higher heat, but an extended period of time. So what that means is, you know, I was trying to decide whether I wanted to make a more sizable meatball that could hold up to that longer cook temp, or did I want to just make them traditional size? So what became the determining factor was as I was mixing up the meatballs, my daughter came in and she was like, what is that? And I was like, yeah, I'm making meatballs. She was like, no, you're not. I was like, yeah, no, seriously. She goes, I can't tell if you're joking, but if those are meatballs, those are way too big. So I was like, all right, I'll break them in half. So just because baby girl was like, yeah, those are too big, I made them more traditional golf ball size. Actually, slightly larger than a golf ball size. It's probably a golf ball and a half is what I actually ended up going with. Now, so for me, when I had done the smoked meatloaf, one of the things I wanted to do was find an alternative binder to the egg. And so where Rod went with the ricotta cheese, I was going to mimic what I had done with the meatloaf, which was to use applesauce. I really enjoyed the texture out of that, that I'd gotten last time. And, so when I opened my refrigerator and I was like, I wanted to cook off this, this meat, I looked in my applesauce, even though it was supposed to expire in October, it did not look great. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going with that. So I tossed that out. And I had watched a few videos on making meatballs, and I had come across one by the great Gordon Ramsay, who did not use a binder in his meatballs at all. He did use breadcrumbs, but he used a different technique to mix up the breadcrumbs, which I followed, which was he took his breadcrumbs and he actually mixed it with milk beforehand into a separate container. Then he dropped that puffed up breadcrumbs into the mix. So he said that creates a lighter mix. And so I said, okay, I'll go with that. I went with the panko breadcrumbs. Rod did the same thing. And I mixed up, I actually mixed it up with half and half because I didn't have any milk on hand and I didn't feel like running the store. So I just took a bowl, took out a bunch of the breadcrumbs, mixed that in there. And then so now it came to determining the seasonings for the meatballs for me. And I said, if this is going to be a barbecue meatball, then I've got to go with barbecue rubs. So I definitely went with a dried onions. I went with dried garlics and mixed that in, put that in the ground beef. And then I grabbed one of the rubs that we had enjoyed last year, which was the Kansas City all-purpose barbecue rub. And this is one that I purchased from Mason Dixon, and I heavily dropped that in there. And then the other thing that I dropped in there was to give it a little kick. So I dropped some red smoked red pepper mix from God, who's the company I ordered those peppers from? Do you remember, Rod? Or got the batch of hot peppers.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I see the bottle, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, so I love every opportunity I get to flat iron peppers. They make some great different types of or blends of red peppers, and so I used the flat iron ones, and they had one that was made up of like chilies that were smoked first, so like some ancho chili smoked, and so I used that blend in the mix as well. So much like Rod, I did not want to overwork the meat, so I definitely did it by hand, mixed up the made the balls, and then
but you didn't add pork to yours. You said you just went with beef, beef products.
Okay. Yeah, I just went with all beef products. And then let's talk about so last year I talked about how I had purchased a bunch of trays with a bunch of racks. And I kind of accidentally stumbled on putting them on there because I was putting them in the smoker. I knew I wasn't going to have to worry too much about the meatballs just cooking in and getting the outside texture off, because they were going to be that oil would be dripping into the smoker and not sitting on the meatballs. But I actually have really started to take on using racks with and trays, just because I like the idea of having like a much a more control over grabbing the food and taking it out and not having to worry about it sticking too much, especially like when I do wings and smaller things like that. So sometimes you'll get it where it gets stuck on the rack. And so I just want to, and it's easier to transport, take on and off. I didn't want to have to take them all, put them all on individually and then take them all off individually.
Yeah. So it's nice when you just lift the tray, the rack right out and move on.
And that was it. So now the other aspect of doing the smoked meatballs was the fact that I said, let me treat them a bit like burnt ends. Because I figured that would probably be the move. So what does that mean? So, I smoked them directly on the rack first with, heavily seasoned and with a little kick to them. And I let that go for about an hour. And essentially, much like we've talked about before, I did 285.
Okay.
And so much like we've talked about many times on this show, I really kind of just smoked it to a color, and once they started to get a nice dark outside and they had actually developed a nice texture, a bark on the outside of the meatballs, that's when I felt like we were ready to be panned. So what I did was I took the meatballs off, I put the I put them in a pan, and then what I did was I mixed up some beef broth and poured that over top of the meatballs, and then I added barbecue sauce in with the meatballs, and then I painted all the meatballs as well. So that way each meatball had like a nice coat on top, plus they were able to cook down into the sauce. Now what I did was, much like I would do with burnt ends, I recovered the pan, or I covered the pan that they were in, and I put those back in the smoker for about an hour. I had to step outside to get my daughter to finish the last steps of it. But essentially, after that hour was up, I had her remove the foil from the top and then let it go for another 10 minutes in the smoker just to kind of firm back up the tops of those meatballs, and then had her take those out and remove them from the smoke. So essentially, combination of what Rod did, but also a combination of what we would do from a barbecue standpoint. Go ahead.
Now, did you find, like, because I know you said you used the flat iron peppers in your meatballs. Did they just add a little kick, or was it like, for someone who has a baby mouth, was it like, oh my gosh, these are hot, or was it like, nope, just enough of that heat where you taste on the back of the palate, but not that it changes like the, I can eat one or two of these and I need to down a thing of milk or something like that.
No, they just added a nice heat note on the back end. I didn't use a ton of the peppers, especially their dark and smoky one. It's not their ancho, chipotle, and habanero, so there's not a ton of heat in there. Okay. Now, I'm speaking from a person that, you know, likes jerk and hotter foods. But to me, my daughter ate it. She loved it. My wife did not try it yet because she's been went on a diet, so she's really watching what she's eating. So that would be the real note, because my daughter can actually handle spicier foods than my wife. Far as from my perspective, they had a nice amount of heat on the back end. So you chewed it, you enjoyed all the flavors, because the barbecue rub that I used really gave those meatballs a nice pop right out of the gate. Not to mention, and anytime I'm smoking something new and I'm going with the sauce, I always start with Sweet Baby Ray's. Sweet Baby Ray's, I think everybody likes, and I use it as a baseline barbecue sauce. The next time I do it, I'll step up and grab, because Mason-Dixon carries a ton of barbecue sauces that I really like. So I'll step
every
up
time I come to your house, there's a new barbecue sauce on your desk that you're like,
what?
Taste this.
You know what I do is I'll go there and I grab a bunch of different sauces, and I just want to try every different one, because not only am I looking for a sauce that I like on its own, but B, I kind of think about, well, if I take this sauce and mix them together, I could have something really, really good. You know what I mean? So I kind of do it from two perspectives.
So oddly enough, you and I both went there, and they accidentally got a seasoning called Blue's Hog. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, hey, you know, like I was buying some
they
stuff,
order
like,
from Blue's Hog, but it was just this particular kind of seasoned, blend. Yeah. was an accident.
And it was called Blue Hog's Rodeo Rub. And he's like, you know, you want to give it a shot? Because it wasn't expensive. It was like actually probably one of the cheapest rubs I bought in a long time.
Right.
I was like, yeah, you know what? You got some. I'll give it a shot. It is actually one of my kids' favorite.
It was really good.
They use it on burgers now. And I'm a little concerned because the bottle's getting low. And they were like, why was this an accidental order?
It was really, really good. I didn't use it for the meatballs. Like I stuck with what I was using with the base. I did use a bit of the AP as well to start with. But then, this Kansas City all-purpose rub. This is leftover from when we did the all-purpose rub off, where we tested a bunch of different all APs. And this one is really, I still like this one a lot. So I still have some left, and I've been putting it on a lot of different things. So in the end, I got a nice caramelization of the barbecue sauce on top of the meatballs, which was awesome. I had great flavor from the Kansas City rub. I had a nice little kick on the back end from the chili peppers that I added to it. All in all, man, this is a really enjoyable thing. Now, what would I do differently? I probably would go a little bit more on the broth. I think I probably could have added some more and give it like a, let it cook down in more of a sauce. I will do next time. The other thing I would probably do is I got to try it with the applesauce. I was happy with the bind that I got on the meatballs. They stuck together very well. But I would still like to see what it would be like with the applesauce in there as well. As an additional binder. So those are two things I would change. I think I would stick with the temperature for sure.
You said you did say you use milk, correct?
I use half and half. So yeah. So, half half. So what I would do in lieu of using half and half, I would pre-mix. I would pre-mix the breadcrumbs in the applesauce, and then I would mix that together into the meat. And then I think the next time I do it, I probably will add some pork to the blend. And, I'll probably go with traditional, just regular ground beef, and then add some pork to it, and then see how it comes back, with that. this time around. And then what I did was I actually surveyed a bunch of friends as a side for it. And they just was like, yo, you got to do that with just some regular white rice. And so I just threw some in the rice cooker. And yeah, they were right. It was the perfect complement to these, sweet, spicy, savory meatballs, smoked meatballs. And the smoke flavor, man, it really came out in the meatballs. I was very happy with that. Very happy. Typically, I don't have a problem getting smoke on food, but some foods, because you cook them for a short period of time, may not uptake very well.
They're small enough, man, that they should absorb a lot.
Yeah, they really took it in. I was really, really happy with the smoke flavor. Even like reheating it, you're like, yeah. And the funny thing is, my mom, I gave some to my mom and she was like, oh, this is really nice. She really enjoyed the sweet and the heat from the meatballs. And so I've given it to her and she's a super picky eater, very light eater. And two nights in a row, she's absolutely destroyed them. So I like the fact that it's already portion size. So it's not very large. So for folks that's watching their figures and stuff, it's really cool. I would love to make a sub out of it as well. So this is definitely a path that I'm going to continue to explore, because if anybody, folks that's listening to this show, they know we love doing smoked finger foods, the sliders, the meatballs, I could definitely see us doing some meatball sliders, smoked meatball sliders next. I could definitely see, doing some meatballs our wives do both make, meatball appetizers that you just traditionally put in the crock pot and people just grab some out. That's a very popular thing in our circles. But doing a version with smoked meatballs, well, I think would be super dope as well.
Yep. I would agree. Well, I'm definitely happy that you had a successful outing with the meatballs. I know that my next transition will be very similar to how I seasoned and put everything together for the meatball, but I am going to try to do that still on a smoker this time so that I can add that a bit of a smoke flavor into the meatballs. But the same goal will be to transition them into a meatball and cheese sub. And then the next time I do them will be more of a traditional barbecue meatball. So, and then I can see that as I start to make the changes, because I probably wouldn't put so much ricotta cheese and Parmesan cheese into something that I would be putting per se as a barbecue meatball, because I think that's leaning more on the Italian side. But yeah, I'm excited to give another shot to meatballs. And it's, again, I just thought like, this is definitely worth a shout out and trying to do. And I do like your approach where you went with a barbecue sauce meatball. I think that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, really, really good. All right, folks, we're back for another season. We got some really cool things lined up for this season. We can't wait. Some cool conversations, some cool ideas we want to mess around with. But by all means, if there's a sauce or a rub or a device you want us to check out for you, you don't want to pull the trigger, go ahead and send us a message on the Discord. Say, hey, if you guys could test this out for me, let me know what you think of it. By all means, hit us up. We're happy to mess around with those things, as long as it's not like a $5,000 smoker. Like, come on. But other than that, definitely looking to get some more. We'll probably definitely have Chandra back on. She's been doing some really, really big things and hanging out with some other awesome pit masters too. So yeah, I'm excited to have her on and just rap with her about some of the things she's been getting into as well. So yeah, we definitely have some cool guests lined up for this season. So until the next episode and next week, we're back, and we'll talk to you guys later. See you in the Discord and online. All right, pitmasters, go light your smokers, and we'll catch you later. Be out.
Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.